And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The only place to read your emails and your tweets. It's No Dunks back here in the Classic Factory, Wednesday, February 2nd, still. I'm J.E. Skeets, alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
Hello, Tessie. We still got our Top Shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. The international man of mystery, taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last, certainly not least, making the magic happen. You may have seen him on Degrassi Junior High. J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream teamers, especially you sickos joining us for the second time today, live on YouTube. Please take a second to like the video, make sure you're subscribed, and later on, share the show with your friends. This is our first Beach Steppin' episode since October 19th, NBA opening night. No, we've sprinkled in a lot of Beach Steppin' cues throughout many of our daily shows, but man, we haven't done this in a while. I checked, though. On that show, I said, quote, we generally do these about once a week. You know, we started having Survivor podcasts, a bunch of other fun content here. So, again, we were just adding your questions to a bunch of our daily shows. But not today, Tess. We have so many great questions, so we've got a separate Beach Steppin' podcast.
Too much creativity in the bones. We couldn't just do beach every week.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Change it up.
But keep your questions coming. Send them in. NBA, non-NBA questions alike. Email them to nodunks@theathletic.com or tweet them in @nodunksinc, or you can leave them in the YouTube comments below this vid. All right, let's get to it. First one. Greetings, No Dunks crew. Statues, statues, statues. Does LeBron become the first player to earn multiple statues across the states? Undoubtedly, he gets one in Cleveland. And Miami has got to put one up, right? What about in L.A.? He fits the superstar legacy of all their other statues.
What about this city?
All the best from the other side of the pond where we wished our Wordles had use. It's from Matthew. The interesting part of that first question, like the real question here, does LeBron become the first player to earn multiple statues across the states? Is there someone in England or Australia or somewhere else in the world, some athlete that has multiple statues? It was that states part that got
I couldn't find one. I did some digging on statues.
Did you?
Yeah. And it's interesting, actually. A very interesting question.
Well, all right.
Because
we started the show with it.
There's not as many people have statues as I thought, though. I thought sort of everyone kind of had one.
Every
basketball team had something like that, but they don't. There's only 21 that I counted. Most of them are in Los Angeles.
You're talking about NBA teams.
Yes, yes.
That there are 21 statues.
That's what I counted. I mean, a few different descriptions out there anyway. But the Miami Heat don't have any.
Right.
They don't have now, but they have retired numbers, of course. They've retired Chris Bosh. I mention him because obviously LeBron will get his retired when he retires in Miami. But the Heat don't have any statues. So I'm not sure they automatically give him one. I mean, if anyone, I think Wade's probably first in line there in Miami.
Yeah. You're saying because the organization just doesn't do it.
They haven't done that. And so, and Cleveland the same. They don't have any. Now, Cleveland, he should get one. Surely he's going to get one there. But his relationship with the front office and the ownership there hasn't been good with Dan Gilbert over the years. Dan Gilbert should have learned, hopefully, from his awful Comic Sans letter. Okay, we've got to honor LeBron James. I mean, he brought a championship here under the most incredible circumstances. So he certainly deserves on there. As for LA, I don't think there's any chance he's getting one in LA unless he was to go on and win multiple championships.
Okay.
He's won one championship. He missed the playoffs and he was out in the first round. And he's probably not looking much better than first round this season for the playoffs as well. So I don't think he matches up. He's saying there he fits the superstar legacy of their other statues, Magic, Jerry West, Kobe. Shaq. I don't think, Shaq, I don't think so in terms of his LA time so far. One championship and, you know, it's not, I mean, it's the bubble championship. Some say it's the hardest one. Some say it doesn't really count. whichever way you want to say it. I don't think the Lakers are giving him one right now. As I say, more championships, it's in the conversation. Right now, it's not. So LeBron should get one absolutely in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to get one. I just don't think the Heat do it, mm-hmm. really. So I think he might only end up with one.
I think players generally are tied to one franchise when it comes to a statue. It's one man, one statue. That should be the rule. You can't have statues in multiple cities. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't. It's different than getting a jersey retired, which is rare to have a guy retire, get his jersey retired in multiple cities. I just think it's... lame isn't the right word. I think it's a little bit... It's reaching. If you're the second city, if you're Miami and he's got one in Cleveland, or you know he's going to get one in Cleveland... It's even though they'll retire Wayne Gretzky's jersey in Miami, it's unbecoming. I wouldn't do it.
Right.
If I was the franchise, I would say, you know, the guys who fit that criteria are the Dirks, usually the guys who stay with the team with one franchise for their entire career. Now I get what you're saying, LeBron, Cleveland. I get it. Maybe he'll have a statue in nearby Akron as well. You know, we went through Charles Barkley's hometown of Leeds, Alabama. He's got one there. But as far as like a franchise goes, I don't think you duplicate somebody else's. I just don't.
You're saying specifically if like the Cavs say, okay, we're building LeBron a statue for what he did for this organization.
The Cavs don't even have to say it. I think if he gets one there, Miami just shouldn't.
Right.
He spent 4 years there. You don't have the right to build a statue when another team is going to build it. You know, like if I, and some teams do it. So it's not universal. It's not like you retire a jersey in 30 different arenas, which some teams haven't even done that yet.
Right.
But yeah, statues aren't across the board a universal thing. So I think we're writing the rules now as we say that because a lot of teams don't. How many teams did you find don't? Probably at least half.
More. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we're one man, one statue is the rule, I think, for me. I think that's reasonable. It's like one streak, one season. You can't have a streak
I like that.
Span two seasons.
I like branding it
dumb.
Like that.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson does have two statues. He's got one at Michigan State as well. There are people that have one for their professional accomplishments and their amateur accomplishments.
Sure.
That's happened quite a few times. I'm with you. I think Cleveland is a guarantee he's going to build a statue as fast as they can build one as soon as they retire. Probably arms out, the witness kind of pose, him throwing the chalk in the air. And I think Miami will build Wade a statue whenever they decide to build a statue, probably him standing on a table celebrating, arms straight up rather than out, like LeBron. Would you consider it a statue, however, if they built LeBron a bust inside of the stadium?
I would.
Yeah.
I think they can do that.
I mean,
I think that's a fair one. The guy won two titles there, some MVPs.
Four seasons, though, so quick.
Four seasons of them being one of the most famous and talked about and best teams in NBA history, though.
Yeah.
And he's one of the all-time greats. Like you're saying, they've retired Dan Marino's number. They retired Michael Jordan's number. They like to honor legends. LeBron is a Heat legend, even if he's not the Heat legend.
Yeah.
I think he'll give him a bust inside. It's like a statue, but not quite a statue. But it's still better than just a jersey retirement.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and those were the definitions you were going through when you were looking. There are busts.
Yeah.
Like Ronaldo's face, that's not a statue. That's a bust.
Yeah. Someone in the stream team's telling me George Best, the football legend, the soccer icon, has one in Northern Ireland where he's from, Belfast, and Manchester United.
Maybe
so,
that's what Matthew is alluding
to. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, Shaq, for example, has had his number retired in, obviously, Los Angeles and Miami. And there are other guys who have had that.
Yeah.
But, Pistol Pete.
Yeah, but the statue is different. I just wonder, do the Heat go with, like, the Heatles? And make a try, maybe a three-piece with Bosch and Wade, or do they just say Wade first and then something with LeBron and then leave Bosch out? I mean, the reason I say that, Bosch wants the three of them immortalized
in
bronze, which is understandable. He's saying that because he thinks otherwise he might not make the cut.
Okay. But do you agree with what he was saying about the LA portion of this? that they're not going to be building one for LeBron unless he gets another title, maybe even two. Is that
one more title, or I would accept an MVP award, a league MVP award, one more of the top honors in NBA, in the NBA world, and I think that maybe he does get a statue there just because he kind of fits the profile of an LA statue. I see people are also saying, I don't know if this is true, I think it is though, Wayne Gretzky has two statues.
Okay.
Edmonton and the LA Kings.
Wow. LA will give a statue to anybody.
So LeBron then. I mean, seems LeBron like and Wayne Gretzky, honestly, kind of similar careers. I think that that's a player that LeBron should be compared to more. Mm. Just saying, I mean, Wayne Gretzky kind of bounced around to a bunch of teams trying to get titles at the end of his career, right? After solidifying himself as the great one.
Yeah.
And I mean, he got the title before leaving his first team.
Right.
So it was a little different in terms of the chronological part of it. But Yeah, they bounced. They bounced. He was a Seattle Blue. St. Louis Blue, yeah.
The final question off all the statues talk, because you said you did a bunch of research. You have a favorite statue?
Favorite statue? Yeah. Well, I like the Shaq one where he is like it's the old Reebok logo of him, really, with
where
the legs
hanging
out.
Off of the rim, legs up.
Yeah, yep. That was it, yeah. I also did a little bit more. I was like, I wonder who's most likely, if anyone, to get two statues in the NBA.
Okay.
All right. This is not going to happen, but this is a guy I think has actually got a decent case. I think Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Because he could get one in Minnesota. That's where we sort of, sentimentally remember
like
him.
Sounds like it's coming, right? Yeah. I mean,
And
he might have to pay for
it. If he chips in $100 million. Yeah.
But then, of course, he did go and win a championship there with the Celtics, their only championship in the last 30 years. So I don't think he gets one in Boston, but there's no one else who's really got a strong case for two teams, you know.
It's hard to do.
I don't know. I know there's a Red Auerbach statue in Boston. Is there like a Larry Bird statue?
Yes, Larry Bird's got one.
Okay,
yes.
So they do statues.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. But that's the thing. Larry's, obviously his entire career there.
Yeah, for a streaky shooter like Larry Bird.
I know. Crazy stuff. Yeah. But I was thinking Kevin Durant's not going to get one, but he's had the long, long time there, put the OKC Thunder on the map. Then he won the two championships in Golden State. If they would idolize statue-wise him. It's not going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying these are the sort of people I'm trying to find the strongest case for. Okay. But there's not really anyone.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to be a franchise guy for multiple teams, but I agree. Wade will get one, even though you're allowed to bounce around afterwards and get a statue.
Totally, yeah.
That's legal. All right, let's get to some trade deadline talk here. 8 days away. Hey, guys, I've been a Bucks fan for almost 15 years, and with all this Miles Turner trade talk, I've been surprised that no one has talked about Turner going to Milwaukee. I think he'd be a great fit since he and Brook Lopez have similar skill sets, both offensively and defensively. With Brook being injured, and for that matter, getting quite old, do you believe the Bucks could try to get Turner in a deal centered around Brook Lopez and picks? Big love from Northern Sweden.
Mm.
Thank you, Lucas, for that email. Great stuff.
Sweden. I almost picked Sweden when we did our Winter Olympics squad as my host city. Just so you know that, Lucas, I was thinking about you.
Nice.
Specifically in Northern Sweden.
So. Yeah, there were some people out there asking, why didn't anyone pick Sweden?
Yeah. We simply didn't.
Yeah.
I should have, man.
Winters in Sweden. Sound beautiful.
Miles Turner.
Yeah. Hey, I like it, man. I like this trade. Nobody's talking about it. Why don't we start talking about it? Because I actually agree that the Bucks need another center.
You said that.
Sure. Yeah, I've said it a few times. I think that they don't win the title last year without Brook Lopez, and I don't even think they're the favorites in the East this season without Brook Lopez, just because playing center is a hard thing to do and nobody wants to do it. You know, Anthony Davis gets a ton of flack for not wanting to play center because it's a physical position. Giannis doesn't really want to play center either, and that guy is jacked and, one of the toughest, strongest guys in the league, but playing center is just a different thing. I don't think that Miles Turner is a perfect substitute for Brook Lopez because Brook Lopez, I think, is a lot stronger and a lot better boxing out than Miles Turner is, which is something I think that really helps the Bucks. But he does protect the rim, which kind of gives Giannis a chance to freelance and roam, which is his strength. And he can stretch the court, which gives Giannis that space inside. I would like a little bit more rebounding because the Bucks, that is an area that they've definitely fallen off this season. They've gotten up to 13th in defensive rebound rate, but they've been like a top five defensive rebound rate team over the past few seasons with Budenholzer there coaching. That's one of their greatest defensive strengths. So I like the idea of trying to acquire another big guy. Miles Turner would be a great one. It wouldn't be a big role for him, which I know is something he's looking for, but also playing into the finals would be pretty cool for him. So gonna have to... You know, you can either be a number one guy on a bad team, or you can be the number five guy on a team that has a chance at the championship. That being said, it's going to be hard for the Bucks to get anybody that's a big name because they traded a whole bunch of picks for Drew Holiday back in the day. Yeah. That worked out, but just means they don't have a lot of assets left to move around.
Yeah, like what would it be here, in theory, trying to put a deal together for Miles Turner? It would be probably, it could be Brooke, of course, included in the deal. Dante DiVincenzo, Nwora. And then draft compensation, but like you said, there's not all that juicy, or at least not immediate for a team like the Pacers, that if they're blowing it all up or rebuilding here, that you're going to be like, eh, we want some juicier picks than that. So I think it's difficult.
Yeah, I don't see what the Pacers would want from the Bucks roster. That's the problem. And they've given up all their Drew Holiday picks. They've given up pick swaps.
Yeah.
So it would be, I don't know, not all that appealing, I don't think, for the Pacers.
Yeah.
They need Brook Lopez back. I totally agree. And maybe if you're a Bucks fan, you look at the fact that they released DeMarcus Cousins in a positive light, in that maybe Brook Lopez comes back, or in another positive light that they wanted another roster spot open because they've got their eyes on somebody else, or they're waiting for somebody to get dropped.
Right.
But I don't see Miles, even though he'd be great. I think the Pacers are going to be looking for a young player coming back, and right. I don't think it's Wara. I don't think it's DiVincenzo. I think they hope it's somebody better than that.
What do you think, Luke?
The Bucks went all in with Drew Holiday. They needed him, and it worked. It paid off, so it was worth it. But now they are at that point where their margin for error is like, we really haven't got anything to play with. So this is the problem now. If they don't get Brook back, they need someone. They tried Boogie Cousins. He wasn't actually too bad for them, but he wasn't quite the right fit. So if they could somehow pull off a deal to get Turner, I think they'd do it in 2 seconds. It's just, what's the reason for Indiana just saying, here, have a good young athletic player who sort of help you out and give us the scraps that you've got left over? That's it. So it won't happen, but yes, it would be a nice little addition there for the Bucks.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be a level or two down from Miles Turner, though, if the Bucks get a backup big here, or a center that they could plug and play. Like we threw out, you know, is there a possibility they could get Mo Bamba from the Magic, or some other names that I'm forgetting? You know, maybe like a Nerlens Noel or something, like a defensive-minded guy that can give you minutes at the center position that you can help in the playoff series, and that'll cost you a lot less than trying to get Miles Turner from the Pacers. I think we all agree with that. All right, another question here. Hey, No Dunks. My Chiefs pulled off an amazing comeback 2 weeks ago versus the Bills, but the performance will be quickly forgotten because KC didn't make the Super Bowl. What are some amazing NBA playoff performances that we don't remember because they didn't go on to win the chip? Thanks. That's from Keaton. That's a fun question. Lee, these type of questions are right in your wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, so I looked at this from a team perspective, not an individual, because he says my Chiefs. So he didn't sort of specify
fair,
you know, the player. So
So teams that maybe had like a really good win or two, series win or two, but didn't go on to win the title, and they're forgotten a bit.
Yeah, and I'm going back to 2001. It was the Milwaukee Bucks back then. They had the big three. Ray Allen, Sam Cassell, and the big dog, Glenn Robinson. Yeah. They took care of the Magic in the first round pretty easily, 3-1. Then they had the Charlotte Hornets the second round. They were up 2-0, down 3-2, came back to win that one in seven. And then they played the Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That one also went seven. They led that series 2-1 and dropped it in seven there to the Sixers. But Ray Allen was incredible in that series. He was awesome as it goes anyway. But in that series, in the playoffs in particular, he played 18 games, 25 points a game, 48% from the field, 48% from three. Also had the six assists and a steal and a half a game there. And I remember he had some big games. He had 41, I think, in game six there that took it to seven, and they lost to Allen Iverson, I think, had a big one in game seven there. And Ray Allen even got fined $50,000 afterwards, said the NBA wanted the Sixers in the finals, not us. But, I mean, if you remember, of course, you know, Vince Carter knocks in that shot against the Sixers. It's a Raptors-Bucks Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now no one's beating the Lakers.
I was going to say, to go on and get hammered by the Lakers, but still.
But that would have, you know, I think the Raptors could have beaten the Bucks, of course, but you know, the Bucks could have made it to the finals back there in 2001. Not long after that team got sort of broken up, Gary Payton gets traded to the Bucks for Ray Allen. They broke it up, but that was a really good team. They were a fun team to watch.
Yeah, it's a great one.
It's a great one.
Got any others?
Well,
I thought you had a list.
Well, Gilbert Arenas, as in terms of like iconic playoff series against the Cleveland Cavaliers, there he had a couple of those years. But no, that was the one that I went deep on anyway.
Okay,
I'll piggyback because those years that Gil was hot and then injuries took him out. Similar guy, Brandon Roy. In those years, you know, drafted in 06, rookie of the year, and then injuries took him down and. The playoff experience with Brandon Roy, it peaks after a couple of years, but I had forgotten about his first one. 2009 was his first foray into the playoffs. Blazers, Rockets, he had a 42-point game in game two. They lost. And then even after that, I mean, the injuries started taking a toll immediately. Next year, they went to the playoffs, but he was injured to start the series against the Suns, came back in game four. 4, 5, 6, the Blazers lost again, first round. And then 2011, this is only his fifth year in the league. He was already a shell of himself. He wasn't playing heavy minutes, and so people were rooting for him. Like, it looked like this guy was a Hall of Famer, but all of a sudden the injuries took their toll. So in this series against the Mavs, he had one final moment, which is wild to say in year five for the guy, but in game four, the Blazers were down 18 points going into the fourth quarter. Mm. It was 67-49, a real low scoring one.
Yeah, baby.
And then Brandon Roy came out to play the 10-minute mark. He hit a layup. And then a couple minutes later, he hit another shot. And then a couple minutes later, he hit another shot. He's playing all 12 minutes. He hit another shot. And then he hit another shot. Then he hit a 3-and-1. Sean Merriam fouled him with 1 minute left. It was still a tie game. Still enough time for Brandon Roy to make his mark. Then he hit that jumper with 39 seconds left. They won it. It was an 18-point fourth quarter for Brandon Roy. And that was the career, really. He retired the next season, just after 5 years. And he made a little bit of a comeback with the T-Wolves for a cup of coffee. But 5 years, looking great. And that was his best playoff performance. Just didn't have a lot of opportunities. Never won a playoff series, which is surprising.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah, did they ever go to the second round even?
Nope. Wow. Not with B-Roy. Okay. Not until Dame came around and banged home that shot on Chandler Parsons. That's it.
In your face.
Did you go with the team angle to this or individual playoff performance or both?
I went with a player, Kawhi Leonard. Remember when he averaged 27, yes. 8-5 during the 2017 playoffs? His last playoff run with the Spurs, 53% from the field, 45 from three. But the only thing you really remember, he stepped on Zaza Pachulia's foot. And that was the end of his run with the Spurs there. And the Spurs were really good that season, too. I think they were 61-21 heading into the playoffs. Obviously, the Warriors were the Warriors. But it felt like the Spurs had him on the ropes. Kawhi was at 26 points, 11 for 11 from the free throw line in that game. Stepped on his foot. Never healed right.
Yeah.
That was the end in San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard. But, man, he was on a roll that season. That was the year it was like between Harden and Westbrook, and Kawhi Leonard was in the mix as well for MVP. So that was a good one.
Awesome. Fun question there, Keaton. Let's hear from the stream team out there. I know you've got answers to that. You know, forgotten playoff performances, either on the individual side of things or the team that they came up a little bit short and maybe they're just overlooked.
Sorry to interrupt you. No. Trey adapting there, and an adaptogen, because I saw you had written down the Iverson 2001 playoffs. But, you know,
adaptogen right there.
But yeah, Lee kind of commented, but still, I think it was different because I was waiting for you to do it, and then I was going to talk specifically about the Raptors Sixers series in 2001.
But that's interesting to me because I kept coming up with, like, I thought answers to this, and I'm like, no, they're memorable. We actually talk about that series or that play, like Iverson 2001.
All right, let me give you some stats here. I got two good ones for you. Exactly. Okay. I think you maybe forget how good these two players were in losing causes. Iverson in 2001 went over 40 points per game 6 times heading to the finals, went over 50 twice against the Raptors.
Yeah.
In the finals, he averaged 35.5 points a game, including 48 in game one.
Okay.
You remember the step over. You remember Iverson's incredible run and then the Lakers winning. But, man, he was really good. The other guy I had, Charles Barkley in the 93 finals. Yeah. 27 per game, 13 rebounds, 5 assists on 48% from the field. He had 3 big beefs in 24 playoff games that year. The finals are honestly ridiculous. 42 points, 13 rebounds in game 2. Except Michael Jordan had 42, so the Bulls won. Game 4, Barkley goes for 32, 12, and 10. MJ goes for 55. He also threw in a 24-19 game and a 21-17 game. You just ran into the wrong team to play, man. Like, the numbers are crazy for Barkley in the finals, but wasn't even the best player in the finals. Yeah. Wild stuff.
It's almost, that's like, it's like a silly argument when people are like, well, he never won a ring. He never got a ring. It's like, yeah, but come on. Like, that's a ring against any other team almost in NBA history, almost.
If
but
they could score, I think they couldn't score in the last, like, 2 minutes of that game as well, game six. And Barkley's talked about that because they talk about how the breakdown defensively leads to the John Paxson three. But the plays before that, the Suns just couldn't score. And that's really, I think, the problem is, like,
sure,
they could have just put it out of reach, but they, Chicago hung around, and then, like it was with the Jazz, really, in Game 6 and 98 there. Same sort of thing. Jazz had a chance, led, couldn't score. Bulls killed them.
All right. Good stuff. I'm glad we got to those. Those are some crazy numbers there from AI and CB. We're going to take our first break when we come back.
CB.
Yeah, as everybody calls them. When we come back, it'll be JETM, TK, and old Ellie here talking more and answering your questions. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So the stream teamers coming through with some great answers to that last question about playoff performances that may be forgotten because they didn't go on to win the championship. One that really jumps out to me. I think it's a good answer. Joshish 2K. The Nuggets 2009 playoff run where they went to the conference finals.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's the season they traded Iverson for Billups.
Yeah, Billups was on that team.
And he was great in the playoffs. They took care of business against the New Orleans Hornets, if you remember, in the Western Conference. I think they beat them in five. They beat the Mavericks in five, so they were rolling and then ran into the Lakers, but put up a fight. I mean, there was a couple plays in some of those games, like in that series, that it's like, whoa, the Nuggets win that. They might go on to go to the finals. But instead, they lost in six games. But Melo played great. He averaged like 28 points per game. And like I said,
seem to remember Melo actually played Kobe decently as well, defensively in that series.
Yeah. So I like that one. 09 Nuggets, because one that you don't like, we don't talk about all that much. So good stuff. Okay, let's get to next batch of questions here.
Heyo. Inspired by Trey's disappointing ugly shirt. Why was it disappointing?
Because it wasn't that ugly.
It wasn't ugly enough.
Yeah. All the shirts he's worn this week, I mean, you could argue they're not ugly on him. He just pulls them off.
Well, I thank you for saying that, but the reality of the story is that I moved like 6 months ago, so I went through my closet and threw out the truly ugly shirts. The ugly shirts I have now are just my ugliest shirts. You know, like if you have 100 shirts, I don't know, these would be numbers 98, 99, and 100. I ain't ever choosing them unless I'm forcing myself to choose them.
Well, back to Anthony's email. He writes, inspired by Trey's disappointing ugly shirt, when was a time you were 100% sure a player would hinder a team only to be proven wrong with their success? That's your pal from SoCal, Anthony. Then he adds a PS. Trey, you could literally rock anything. So
thanks, Anthony.
You can never wear an ugly shirt, according to Anthony.
That's my pal from SoCal.
Skeets, you got an answer to this?
I mean, not a good one. I thought this was such a difficult question to answer, and I could tell it was difficult because no one wanted to answer
Nobody was riding.
In the Classic Factory because, you got to try and think of, like, I mean, the way I was looking at it, of course, like, either through free agency or a trade, that I'm like, okay, that happened, And then I questioned it, right? I was like, ugh, I don't know. Is that a good fit? Is that going to work? Eh. And then it ends up doing all right. And I'm sure I've said this. I know there are instances out there, but I guess one that maybe I wasn't that high on at the time was not that long ago, last year at the trade deadline, Trey Kirby's Bulls trading some juicy picks and a good young player in Wendell Carter Jr., of course, another junior in Otto Porter, to the Magic for, it was Al-Farouq Aminu, and then Vucevic. And, you know, Vucevic was one of those players we had debated a lot. Is he only getting his numbers? Is he only sort of even getting all-star consideration or at least making it there once or twice because he's on a shitty Magic team? And somebody's got to fall into a 2010. You know, it's just going to happen to somebody. And so, you know, like, oh, and what's he going to really bring defensively? Like, that's not really his forte. And I remember Trey being high on it. And I do specifically remember saying, Trey, you're only loving this trade because it's your Bulls. And they're actually making a move to try and get, like, the best player in a deal, no doubt. And, yeah, giving up a little bit of the future, maybe that's fine because they see something, you know, turning here. And obviously what they would then do in free agency was huge in getting DeRozan and Caruso. But I said, you only like him because it's your team. If this trade happened to 29 other teams, you'd have been like, ugh. Two first-round picks for Vucevic? Like, get the hell out of here. Now, who knows if that's true?
Well, I said at the time, no, I love it, Skeets, because it's going to show that the Bulls are serious about winning and they're going to be able to sign free agents in the offseason.
That's exactly what happened. So this is why it's my answer. I just remember going, I don't know. Vucevic, two first-round picks? But it's because of what they did after that. It's not like the Bulls' season turned around really last year.
No, it didn't. It certainly didn't.
It didn't at all, but... Yeah, if Vooch was what you had to acquire in the trade deadline deal to then get players like DeRozan and Caruso and stuff like that to join your team, then of course it's worked out pretty well for Chicago. So that's my answer. It's not that great, but okay. You know, it's tough. This was a tough one.
Okay. Lee got an answer for this one?
Yeah, I mean, the part about thinking the guy would hinder the team doesn't quite fit for this answer, but it's a guy I didn't think was going to do much. Back to 2005, 2006, the Phoenix Suns, they got Tim Thomas basically off the scrap heap, and I thought, nice. Tim Thomas, like, what's he going to provide for that team?
Okay.
He was huge, especially in the playoffs. In 20 games there, averaging 15.6 rebounds off the bench and shooting 49% from the field and 44% from three, and also game six against the Lakers hit that huge three that basically stopped them from being eliminated because the Lakers were up 3-1. Suns got it back to 3-3 and then blew them out in Game 7. But it was that Game 6 in LA. Tim Thomas hit that big three off a missed shot, I think, from Steve Nash. Came out to him. He sort of hesitated. Someone flew by him and he knocked it in. He was really good for them that entire series. So,
but it's not like, yeah, they got Tim Thomas and you were like, oh, that's going to screw up everything.
I was just like, have him, yeah. Because I think he hadn't played for the Bulls and I don't know if they waived him or traded him, whatever. But it was like, yeah, sure, Tim Thomas. Turned out being a fantastic pickup for them.
Yeah.
Good. Timmy Thomas. And a lot of those offensive rebounds, too, in that series where he just got extra possessions playing along Sean Marion.
Not bad.
Trey, who you got?
Well, I actually had Evan Mobley and Lauri Markkanen. I thought there's no way running 3 7-footers out there is going to work for the Cavs.
That's a good one.
But they're apparently very good, and it's totally working. And even Markkanen has been able to stick around in the rotation, which I'm honestly shocked by, but he's been all right. And Mobley, I think the key is that Mobley is so much better as a rookie than anybody could have expected.
Yeah. Right.
Well, like, I thought, for me, I was like, Jaren Jackson Jr. will be what Evan Mobley is when Jaren Jackson Jr. was a rookie. And maybe someday Evan Mobley can get to Jaren Jackson Jr.'s level. And now it feels like it's completely flipped. But I saw a great answer in the stream team that I think is a great one. When Chris Paul joined the Rockets and everybody's like, Chris Paul and James Harden, right. How could that ever work? Yeah. And then they won 65 games.
Yeah.
Yep. One hamstring away from going to the finals, I think.
Quite possibly.
I do think
that's
so.
That's a good one.
That's a lot of games they won. 65.
That's a lot of games.
And just to go back like to the Bulls, the DeRozan, you know, acquisition during free agency, a lot of people questioned that. I can't remember us being like, I know you were very excited. I don't think the rest of us even were like, that'll never work. You know, I guess there was concerns like defensively. It's like, especially you're adding him to Vucevic. But some people were like going crazy about that signing. What? You're giving him how much money and what's he going to do for this team? But we weren't doing that.
DeRozan was the perfect trade for us because we watched a lot of his Toronto career, obviously, and then actually kept tabs in San Antonio, and I don't think a lot of people did. But, yeah, that has certainly turned out well for the Bulls, though I will say
the concerns everybody had that they were going to be incredible on offense and can't stop anybody on defense, that's what they are right now. No, it's just because their best defenders are out, but like the concerns you had were like, oh, the offense is going to slow down in the fourth quarter. They're just going to go one-on-one all the time. That's what they do. Yeah, and then they don't play defense. And then, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Vooch, he hasn't turned on the defense since he's been on Chicago. So yeah, January people were right about the Bulls, but the other 3 months it's been okay.
I saw this guy in the stand just screaming at Vucevic one day, just like, do something. It's like, it was one of those viral videos going around. I didn't see who the guy was, but yeah.
Do anything.
Yeah.
Do I'm glad he's a Bull because we're returning to the hardwood tonight. The pickup run is back. Mm. I don't want to get hurt. So I'm playing Vooch style.
Oh, no defense. Yeah.
No jumping.
Yeah, yeah.
No touching others. Mm. Stay back.
It's the gym, at least for the first couple of weeks, only an hour rental. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah,
too,
that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
get your legs warm.
Be careful out there, though.
Hope somebody's sweeping. Yeah. You know, that's when the slippies happen. Somebody's got to get out there and sweep that dust.
Did you have an answer to this one?
No, I'm positive when it comes to every trade. Don't listen to me when it comes to trades. I think both teams win every trade. Yeah, honestly, it was hard for me to come up with one where I was down and then it came back. I mean, I was not excited about Hassan Whiteside going to Utah. That's worked out. Andre Drummond going to Philly, sort of same thing. I mean, those should be low expectations, low bars because they're minimum type guys, but they have exceeded expectations greatly.
Next question here. I think it's me, right? Yeah. Hey, No Dunks. While heading to work this morning, I saw a Chevy Trax. May have been me. What is something you only know about because of a podcast? Please keep the Clipper sign-off clip. That's from Stella in Austin, Texas. Stella, obviously, talking about me, the Chevy Trax. PJ Washington is my comparison to the Chevy Trax. Comes up a lot here on the show. Not an ad. It's not an ad. I drive
should
Chevy
be
Trax.
Chevy Trax.
Yeah, it should be. Chevy Trax, talk to me. But yeah, I guess Stella, they only know because of the podcast. So, you know, what else is something maybe only you're aware of because of the show we do? Or another podcast.
Go with another podcast, and it's specifically a saying from another podcast. So Lee, play along with me here for a quick sec. Tell me something that you eat that I probably wouldn't like anything.
vegan sausages.
I don't want to yuck your yum, but that sounds disgusting.
Yuck your yum?
Yeah, I don't want to yuck your yum.
What is that from?
It's just a saying.
But from what podcast?
Well, Chris Hayes said it. But he just it's not like a segment or anything.
Yeah, okay.
He just said it.
Yeah,
so I don't know. It was about NFTs. It was a podcast on NFTs, and I don't know. I guess he was talking about in general about people's desire to have NFTs. And so he said, "I don't want to yuck your yum." Mm-hmm. It's a good, I think it's
never
a good
heard
saying.
That.
That's a good
saying. Good.
That's a
good. You've never heard Matt Austin say that?
No.
It's a Matt Austin saying as well.
I guess I don't listen to him.
He says a lot, man.
Really?
That guy yucks everybody's yum.
Yep.
But so break it down for me. I don't want to yuck your yum. That's like, I don't want to burst your bubble.
Like if you're like, oh, I'm training for a marathon. I'm like, I could train for a marathon in 6 weeks. I think it's dumb when people talk about running. I'm yucking your yum because you love talking about running, and I'm like,
interesting.
Yuck.
Yeah, anything you're one person is high on, and the other person just.
So when
takes
you start
your legs out from
the
under
Bulls
you
on the next podcast, I can say, "Wait, how would I say it then?" In that case,
I don't want to yuck your yum.
Oh,
but the Raptors are good.
Oh, right.
The Raptors are better than Bulls.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're learning.
Yuck your yum.
It's like it's two levels. I've found out about this. I found out about yuck your yum through our podcast, but
right.
by way of another podcast.
Wow.
Okay. Do you have a an answer to this one?
Yeah. Well, I do actually. Yeah. When I came back from Calgary just recently, there was no in-flight entertainment on the plane.
No Mrs. Doubtfire at all.
I didn't know that until we were boarding and we were sitting in our seats, right? No USA Today, couldn't do the crossword. I'd finished Chris Herring's book. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now for 4.5 hours? Opened up the podcast app, and this one popped up from Conan O'Brien and Quentin Tarantino did a podcast together.
Okay.
Yeah. Conan does it. but Quinton, join him.
Quinton and Conan.
Great podcast. Yep. Really difficult. I don't know. I mean, maybe you guys are going to listen to it, particularly JD. At times, I'm like, I don't know which one's talking right now. They sound exactly the same. You know, high energy guys, yeah. You know, similar sort of cadence in the way that they speak. Anyway, I found out about that. You know, Mad Magazine. Right.
Yeah.
They no longer issue it.
Yeah. JD's, I think, talked about that before. Yeah.
The last issue ever created was designed by Quentin Tarantino. There
Damn,
you go.
That's crazy.
I know. It was crazy.
What?
I mean, Mad Magazine, probably a lot of people in the stream are going, I've never even heard of that magazine. It was huge in the 80s and 90s, you know, making parodies out of current movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so Quentin Tarantino, of course, a big movie director, I guess. I can't remember exactly how he got to that point, but then I was like, oh, right. And I Googled it and checked it. It's true. It's legit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great podcast. About an hour and 20 minutes. Couple of just dudes being dudes. You know?
What's better than that? Okay.
I don't want to yuck your yum, but I preferred Cracked Magazine myself.
There it is. Okay, now I understand it.
There we go. Yeah.
Now I get it.
We're doing a lot of yum yucking.
It's sort of like you're almost one-upping the person a little bit too. No, or just like, okay.
Almost like one-downing. For me, it's anything about cricket. I've learned that.
Yeah, that's my answer. Right? That's my answer.
Yeah, like test cricket. I know that's a thing. I know what a six is. When you jack it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
There are different formats. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things I learned was about a baggy cap.
Yeah.
That's a cricket specialty.
Yeah.
Skeets, you had that awesome...
Have a great time.
Ooh. You had that awesome... cricket music. You had that awesome baggy cap. Got me looking for the Bulls one on eBay. Yep. One exists.
But really?
It looks the exact same, though a lot more worn. This one looks like it's been worn a lot. Favorite thing I've learned, though... A variety of cricketer names.
There we go.
Sachin Tendulkar.
Yes.
Shane Warne.
Yes.
Curly Ambrose.
Curtly Ambrose.
Hold on.
Did he just King yuck Kurtley, your yum?
Yeah.
Let me.
Curtly Ambrose. Yes. Mark Waugh.
Yes.
Alan Border.
Yeah.
I feel like Warney had a brother.
He did. No.
Waugh had a brother.
Yeah, twin. Yeah.
Tony.
No. Steve Waugh, yeah.
Was it Steve perchance?
That's all my cricketer names.
Ah, I'm so glad you brought that up because today is the anniversary of Alan Border, right? Against the West Indies in 1984. They were playing a day-nighter in the finals, right? Best of three. And Alan Border, Australia in trouble early on. Captain Alan Border comes out. And the West Indies in the 80s were really intimidating. They had all these fast bowlers, these big... powerful guys. Early on, Alan Border gets one, smacks him right in the ribs.
Oh.
Yeah, could have broken his ribs. He's chewing on his helmet strap for the entire innings, goes out, makes 127. Just the gutsiest performance from the captain. Incredible innings. His greatest one-day game ever. And I know that because I was sick from school. Mum had to come and pick me up. I was lying on the couch just watching the cricket all afternoon. It was incredible. So a sickie, AB goes, gets 127. Australia win the first one-day final. It was great.
All right. Well, that was my answer as well. So, next question, cricket for sure.
All right, moving on to another one here. When we talk about disappointing players, we always tend to pick star players that are underperforming. How about role players? Who are some of the role players that you think are underperforming this year, or players that you expected to have a good/breakout season, but they didn't? Mine is Terrence Mann. That's a good one. Mm. After that performance in the playoffs last year, and with Kawhi being out, I really thought Mann would have a breakout season and possibly win most improved player. I even drafted him high on my fantasy team. Sorry about that, RJ and Perth. Maybe we had played a part in that too, because we talked a lot about Terrence Mann in our season previews, thinking that he would definitely chip in for that reason. Kawhi out, he's got to play lots of minutes, but even though they went to the conference final, they had that great little run. Terrence Mann has not been amazing. Skeets, do you have an answer for this one?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I'll start with Jordan Clarkson. He's a role player. Yeah, I know he won Sixth Man of the Year, but disappointing this season, especially after what he did last year. I think that's the glaring part of this. He just can't shoot. I mean, his whole role on a team is to, like, come in, fire away and score, man. And he's not doing a great job at that. And especially this year with all the injuries to the Jazz, like you'd think like more minutes, maybe take on a little bit even more of a leadership role and like sort of pull out a couple of these games. But that's not happening. He's shooting 40% on a lot of shots. Like he gets 14, 15 shots a game, 32% from three. So I had him on my list. Another guy that maybe I wasn't as high on, or I don't even think we were as high on as some people out there, and it's because he's a Lakers player, Talen Horton Tucker.
Good one.
Wow. I mean, if you listen to Lakers fans, they were convinced this guy was going to be like a 10-time All-Star. And, ooh, it's real bad for him. He's averaging under 10 points per game. You know, again, shooting 40% from the floor, 25% from three. So I have him on my list. And then just one more. This guy starts a majority of his games. Only a second-year player, so there's a ton of time for him to turn it around. And Talen Horton Tucker, I should say, is very young, too. But Killian Hayes in his second year here. I like what I've been seeing in games I watch of the Pistons. He's not bad defensively. Like, he goes at it on that end. He's a pretty good wing defender, especially for his age. But just like, he's shooting 34.8%. from the field, and then 28% from three on obviously not a ton of attempts, but yeah, 6-4 from a guy that you drafted very high. He's only 20. I get it. I'm not saying, you know, get him out of here and send him to Australia or something, but
Why
I just expected
rookie of the year if he comes back.
I just
get him out of here and send him to Australia.
I just expected a little bit more in the second year, you know, on a team that is not expected to win a ton of games, and now you got some more talent around you and Cade and stuff like that. But those are my three guys in no particular order: Clarkson, Horton Tucker, and Killian Hayes.
Killian. Maybe if you recalibrate your expectations of Killian Hayes now that they have a number one guy in Cade, and he's just an off the ball player, but he's got to be able to shoot.
You got to score in this league. Like it's almost like you either have to be the most elite defender to stay on the floor if you can't score, or you got to give him something. And he might turn into a totally normal decent shooter, but after whatever 65 games in the NBA so far over 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be an offensive threat. Mm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm wrong. I like him. I think he looks cool, too.
Cool look.
Yeah, he's just got a unique look.
Good name.
Great name. You know, international
flavor. It's all there on paper, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, same with Talen Horton Tucker. THT, great name.
Yeah.
Cool look, I think.
Yeah.
So, if think about it, it wasn't even a year ago where they could have potentially... The rumor has it they could have traded for Kyle Lowry if they were able, if they allowed THT to go. Then Kyle Lowry's their point guard probably today, and Russell Westbrook doesn't get traded for all that big bag of chips. And they still have, you know, KCP. Do they still have Caruso? Probably. Lowry costs $12 million less than Russell Westbrook does. They can keep Caruso. Yeah, maybe a little overvalue there. I mean, he's obviously was injured this season.
I forget. He feels older to me.
He looks
feels
older.
Like a guy that came into the league just at an older age.
Yeah.
He's an Illinois boy, right?
That's right.
But he's only 21, and it's only his third year. And
he looks older than 21. Looks straight
he
look.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Old man
and,
look.
But, like, is, I don't know, is he going to make an all-star team, like, in his career?
I mean, no, but
right.
From what we've seen so far, but, you know,
well, the answer is no.
Andrew Wiggins was definitely a no up until this season. So, you know, things can happen. Things can change, but it's tough. It's
Are you going to always use that now for any guy?
I have to. It's like, listen, look at Wiggins, man. He's
scoring 24 per game, though. THT is not.
No, he's 24 a game. Wiggins.
As high with the Wolves.
Oh, yeah. Not this score.
No, he's 19 points, whatever.
Any other, you know, disappointing role players? Because we do talk about the stars that usually disappoint, but I like this little twist to this.
Mm. Well, a guy who got a big bag in the offseason, Duncan Robinson, got the 5-year, $90 million contract extension.
Mm. Yes.
He's not having a good season.
Oh, but he has had a pretty damn good month.
Well, yeah, he's hot or cold. There's no in between with him. He's had 10 games, I believe, of 20 points or more. So look at me with my listen, Duncan.
You look like you're lecturing him.
Tell me how it is, Vincent.
But he's taking exactly the same amount of shots as he did last season, but he's down 4% from the field and 4% from 3-point range. And I sort of said this to you before last night. I think he hit his first shot, and that was it.
Yeah,
that's all he gave.
Bad game.
Now he's a beautiful shooter, incredible mechanics, but it's just not falling for him. right now. So the Heat gave him that big money. They're going to expect him to live up to that because they're pretty much tapped out as far as their contracts are.
Don't you dare compare him to Davis Bertans.
No, not yet. But listen, in the bubble, he was really good for them, really important. And so I think he earned that big bag. He might have to give some of that bag back.
Give me that big bag back.
I'm just laughing at how many times you like to say bag.
I love saying it. It's a great word. Yeah, but he doesn't have much in his bag other than the three-point shot. So down, his minutes are down too, 27 a game this year, down from 31 last season. So I think that's probably a bit of it. I think Spoelstra's maybe like, he's not quite giving it to us this season.
Yeah, and Spoelstra's like, well, we got five other guys that the casual fans never heard of, but yeah, they might give us a
and they're keeping Tyler Hero coming off the bench for now. Mm-hmm. Next season, I would say Tyler's almost a certain starter, and Duncan might be the guy coming off the bench.
Something to watch. Okay, so he's got Duncan Robinson disappointing right now so far. Though he's at least had a couple good weeks here. Yeah,
but compared to the start of the games, season. Yeah.
Still a buddy. He will not.
I took it from a good month to a couple good weeks. He won't even give me that. A couple good games, according to Leo.
What about a couple of good podcasts? Maybe the problem is he started his own podcast.
Oh, distracted, eh?
Yeah. Too many jobs. Just throwing it out there. Yeah.
Okay. There's a reason why I don't play in the NBA.
You got too many
I'm
jobs.
I'm podcasting. What do you have, Trey?
Call me Vincent because I'm going to Van Gogh off here. Clint Capella. Clint. Step your game up, Clint.
Oh.
I feel like Clint Capella, like, nobody cares. The guy led the league in rebounding last season. Guess what? It's down 2 rebounds. Doesn't seem like much. His field goal percentage, 59% last year, 58% this year. Who cares? But you don't feel Clint Capella the way you did last year when the Hawks went on their run, especially into the playoffs. He was great as a role guy. He was great as a rim protector. And this year, he just seems to have taken the tiniest step backwards. And the Hawks didn't have a ton of room to step backwards defensively. Now that Okongwu is healthy and has been playing for the past month, Clint Capella is still going to get the starts, but I feel like you're going to stick with Okongwu down the stretch of things because he's just more switchy and he's just a little bit quicker. He's got those strong legs and a little bit more of a future since he's a younger player. So Capella's diminished returns this year, I think, were a huge part of the reason the Hawks struggled in the first half of the season.
Love it. Do you have any additions here to this list?
No, Terrence Mann was my man.
Terrence Mann was your man. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear from the stream team. Another perfect question to ask all of you watching or listening. You can let us know live right now in the YouTube comments or tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Role players, that's a specific part here. Role players who have disappointed you so far this season. When we come back, we'll wrap up. What are you laughing at? The way I said you? Yeah.
I liked it.
I like to talk to them like they're right here in the Classic Factory, you know? Really connect with you out there.
You! Leave your comment below. You!
Hey, you! Yeah, you! Leave a comment. We'd appreciate it. We'll be right back after this break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, we're still stepping on the beach. A few more questions to get to. Keep sending them in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Considering on the surface that the Hawks are much improved without Cam Reddish, is there any other team who you think could improve by subtraction? That's from, by way of Twitter, actually. Tweet at us, at NoDunksInc. That's from @SoCal_Sully. That's not our pal from SoCal, though. We got a couple SoCal listeners. This is great. Okay, so Sully wants to know, another team that you think could improve by subtraction, really, by trading a player, getting rid of somebody.
I actually got two for you. Both of them are the third guy around a notable duo. Marcus Smart on the Boston Celtics and Yusuf Nurkic on the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, the Blazers' ship has kind of already sailed here. Lillard is likely out for the season. Maybe he'll come back if they're trying to make a run at the play-in at the end. Nurkic's contract is over at the end of this season. He's on a $12 million deal. Definitely feels like a player who could be traded at the deadline if they're looking to acquire something for an expiring contract. And Nurkic would probably help a lot of teams that need some help as a big guy. Like, maybe he's more gettable than Miles Turner for the Bucks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Bulls could use him. Who knows? But that's a guy you could get. And I think that, you know, the Blazers, Nurkic is good when he's good, and when he's hurt or when he's struggling, like, he looks really bad. And the team just looks really slow. So I think that the Blazers just need a little change, obviously, and I think that that would be a good one for them to start. Marcus Smart is kind of a tougher question. He's got a long contract, signed through 2026, but he has been there around Tatum and Brown for a long time, and just like Nurkic, like, you kind of look at the third guy a lot. The third guy gets scapegoated all the time. It happened to Chris Bosh. It happens to me when I'm watching the Bulls, and Vooch is the only guy I want to get mad at, you know? The third guy is a tough spot to be, but it feels like they need somebody a little bit more reliable as a point guard, and I know Marcus Smart doesn't like being told he's not a point guard because he's played point guard his whole life, but they just need a little bit more of a caretaker in that position, I would think. So Marcus Smart, another guy who would be helpful to other teams as well. And he does help the Celtics when he's good. But just like Nurkic, I think that once you keep trying the same three guys, you'll want to try something new eventually.
Yeah, the problem with Smart is he helps them so much defensively. Mm. Like, and the Celtics have started to turn it around a little bit. I know they're a couple games above 500 and have played well over the last month or so, especially defensively. And Marcus Smart is a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. But I hear you from, like, the offensive side of things and, like, just a floor general they could really use at times, especially when they keep blowing big lead.
Exactly right.
Big lead. And I like the Nurkic one. Anyone else?
No, I mean, I was going to actually go on Marcus Smart as well because, only because he is very good, but he's their most valuable tradable asset. They're not going to trade, Tatum, and I don't think they trade Jaylen Brown either. I think they like both of those guys. They're two really good young all-star caliber players. They probably miss out this season. At least one of them does anyway. But that sort of makes Smart the expendable one, where it's like he's got value. He's young enough. His contract is okay. Like, it's compared to NBA contracts are out there in the league right now. So if the Celtics want to improve, it's like, take Smart, we'll throw in a draft pick, and maybe they can get a point guard in return, because I think that's probably their biggest hole right now.
And my answer is a little bit ironic, because SoCal Sully mentions the Hawks, a little addition by subtraction, trading Cam Reddish to the Knicks, who I think need to subtract big time. And it's kind of similar in that they have too many guys like the Hawks, too many Knicks on the dance floor here, and they absolutely have to reduce their wings. But it was their own doing in the offseason. They gave Evan Fournier a monster deal. They gave Alec Burks a big deal. And they've got guys waiting in the wings like Quentin Grimes and like Emmanuel Quickley. And I think everyone will be happier if they just get some minutes. And unfortunately, I don't know how you trade a guy like Evan Fournier, but to me, he's the glaring one right here, right now. First season of his contract, that would make a heck of a lot more sense to go a little bit younger, because they need a switch up. And I didn't even mention Cam Reddish getting into the rotation. Right. So, yeah, you got Grimes waiting, you got Quickley waiting, you've got Reddish waiting, and you've got somebody like Obi Toppin waiting in the wings. Yeah, more youth for sure.
It's fun to try and think, like, of all the rosters, to try and find, like, another Cam Reddish or two out there. And what I mean by that is, like, by all accounts, he was like, come on, I want to be a star here in Atlanta. And they're like, no, we have our star. We need you to play a role. Let's try it out. And he's like, okay, fine. But then, you know, he just gets out there and sort of chucks away. And they're like, let's get rid of this guy. He's sort of like a toxic sort of, like, dude to have around the squad. Like, the feel-good vibes are not there with him. Mm. That's obviously happening on other rosters. Does anyone come to mind where you could, like, I don't know, where they maybe are upset with their role on the particular team? Like, is Buddy Hield happy with his role in Sacramento?
He's
right
been
now?
Liking tweets about him being traded for years.
Right,
now. So,
right.
I think all of those guys in Sacramento are trying to play their way out.
Yeah,
it's tough. I mean, that Cam Reddish Knox deal looks stranger and stranger by the day. It doesn't seem either team was really interested in, other than just like, you want to just trade?
Sure. But no. I don't think you can say that from the Hawks side of things. It's like, they traded him because they're like, we don't want you around
anymore.
I know,
but they got the guy Kevin Knox is not playing. I know they got a first in return as well, but
that's okay.
I don't know. Yeah, sure. It doesn't really seem to have. Well, I guess the Hawks have gone on the win streak, but I don't think it's because of Cam Reddish not being.
They
there.
Say it is. Yeah. I don't know. I know that's a very difficult question. Yeah. I put you on the spot there. Yeah, I don't know if you guys, anyone else come to mind? That like the Kings are probably all of them one out of there, but
seeing a lot of Westbrook in this dream team.
Hmm.
Addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Westbrook or would you rather have nobody? That's a tough question.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you'd rather have Westbrook. You would. If you're the Lakers, you don't trade down on talent because where's that talent going to come from? You know, if you're trading Westbrook, you hope you're getting somebody back.
Yeah,
so that would
be
a different roster. But yeah, Westbrook or what we have at point guard currently, who's going to take over? Austin Reeves going to jump in the point guard spot?
A very Bradley.
Yeah. That would be a very risky Bradley move, for sure. Miles Turner, I guess we mentioned him off the top of the show, he was asking. He came out and told The Athletic and told Bob Kravitz, hey, I need a new role. Hey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was Kravitz, actually. Maybe it was an Amick.
Does he write for the Philly voice?
It was on The Athletic, though. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks for your subscription. Moving on. Last question here. Hey, No Dunks. I've been waiting for something monumental to happen in my day-to-day life so I can use that for a beach-stepping question. Well, here it was. I was taking a shower, and like most normal people do, I, too, was listening to the No Dunks Winter Olympics episode on my phone. Mm. I ended up getting water in my speaker, and I could tell that the sound was now muffled, and I may have damaged my iPhone, potentially making this one of my most expensive mistakes ever. Wonder what happened to this iPhone. Doesn't seem like it was a definitive broken. But anyway, so here's my question. What would you consider one of your most expensive mistakes ever? That's from Hussein S. in Chicago.
Gotta be careful with the phone in the shower. That's what you gotta buy a very cheap Bluetooth speaker for the shower. Because I, too, love listening to podcasts while I'm getting ready. And lathering it up. But,
lathering and listening.
Like, I got a shelf in my shower. Yeah.
Humble big time.
Bag. Got some high shelves, too, because there's some nice high windows. Oh, when the sun comes through.
J.E. shelves.
At 5 o'clock, it's nice. But I don't even risk putting my phone on those shelves where the water is like almost no chance.
iPhones these days are water resistant. I can't believe that happened
Get
to Hussein.
Get yourself a very, very cheap waterproof Bluetooth speaker. You're laughing.
I think his phone is fine because he didn't even.
How did he know that?
Because he said I've been waiting for something monumental
right?
to happen,
and then it happened, and he started.
And then he didn't sell it. He didn't even sell it. He's been waiting this long, and he just said I may have damaged my iPhone, potentially making this one of my most expensive mistakes. I think he was just yearning to send in a question.
Well, that's a good question.
It was a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say my story again. You guys have heard it before. 2019, the Raptors go to the NBA championship Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing game 6 at home to Milwaukee, my first opportunity to go. Tuesday night after they won game 4, game 6 was guaranteed, so I booked a ticket to Buffalo because I didn't want to pay full price to Toronto. I just find it hard. It's a flaw. It's a fatal flaw. I find it hard when a ticket's usually $300-$400 when it was up to 11. I just couldn't pull the trigger, so I bought one to Buffalo. Then my person who works at a flight at an airline told me that I could get a buddy pass, got in my ear, so I canceled the ticket to Buffalo. And then I sat at the airport on Saturday trying to be someone's buddy. Didn't work out. I finally bought a ticket in the afternoon. I couldn't get on that flight. What a gong show that was, because I didn't go up and check in at the gate because I was at the airport all day. It just didn't come to me to check in. So here we are. It was my most expensive mistake ever. Mm-hmm. Did it cost me money? No, it cost me $0, really. It cost me 10 hours at the airport and just emotional baggage, really.
Yeah. And you miss an awesome game 6 against.
But then I look back and I think, I'd probably be dead if I went. You know, it was just a long day.
You
could have died.
Well, you would have been super hungover.
It was an all-nighter.
I was already exhausted.
Yeah.
I just had a child like minutes earlier. It wasn't minutes earlier. But anyway, I'd still be alive. And I regret it to this day. I just should have gone to Buffalo, which would have been horrendous. Yeah. Driving from Buffalo. It's not a bad drive, actually. Cool story, bro. Anybody else? What would you consider one of your most expensive mistakes ever? Lee, you got one?
Well, mine's actually the same in the sense it's not a financial error. It's a life error I made. Not going to the 2006 World Cup in Germany. Australia made it through to the second round. Oh. We should have beaten the champions, Italy, in the first knockout stage. Penalty, Totti knocks it in. Bit of a tough call. Australia could have gone on and won the World Cup. They didn't. But they did come back and they beat Japan. They were down 1-0, came back and beat them 2-1. And then we made it through. We tied with Brazil in the second round, in the second game. And then we beat Croatia in the third. I could have been there for it. And I was like, I'm going. I just didn't go in the end. I can never go back now to see Timmy Cahill bang in a couple.
Timmy.
In Kaiserslautern. While we were down against Japan, the crowd was going wild. There was
this has been a long day. I think I fell asleep while you were telling this story.
There were inflatable kangaroos flying around. I was like, that could have been me, you know?
Kaiserslautern.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a city.
You brought me back with Tim Cahill. As soon as I heard that,
why didn't you go? You didn't say why.
This is the thing.
You go to everything.
I know.
Yeah, the only event you said no to ever?
Know. Yeah.
No, see, because I was living with Hot Dog. That was his nickname. Eight Toes.
What?
Eight Toes is also known as Hot Dog.
What?
I was living with Hot Dog.
What?
And,
you can't gloss over this.
Well, he polished off, I think it was 5 hot dogs at the Blue Jays game one day in like half an hour.
And so then from then on, his name was Hot Dog.
Yeah.
The guy with 8 toes.
Yeah. 8 toes and 5 dogs.
The anyway, ironic part is he only has 4 dogs per foot.
I was going to say, it's like when you're going to a barbecue and it's like you got the hot dogs, they only come in 8 and the buns come in 6 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. he went early. Like for some reason we couldn't coordinate our times and he went and then I just didn't go and I was like, I don't know why. I'm so disappointed. I've got the double hand teapot on myself for that one.
Yes.
You know, like, why didn't you go, man? What's wrong with you? But I think it was probably this. It was like, if do I book a ticket for like a week and say, all right, I'll come back, or do I book it for like 3 weeks and hope Australia goes on and I think I sort of was just like, all right, I'm just not going. They probably won't get out of that group stage anyway, and they did. And,
well, how many hot dogs did Hot Dog eat at a soccer game?
At a soccer game?
Yeah, wait, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I wasn't there with
him.
Hold on. I had a baseball game. It was the Blue Jays game.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
Hold
on. Maybe I did fall asleep.
Yeah.
What event were you just talking about that you didn't go to?
The soccer.
Yes, okay, that's why I asked how many hot dogs Hot Dog had at the soccer game.
I don't know. I wasn't there with him.
You don't talk to him? You didn't talk to him?
I didn't say, hey, how many dogs are you dropping out?
Why not? You just seem to be 5 at a baseball game.
That was like the
hot dog.
That was the high watermark. I was like, he's not getting more than 5.
But I was taking crazy pills for a second.
I mean, it would have been a sausage at a German game.
Yeah, he's probably not putting down 5 of those. They're bigger, thicker.
3 max.
Bigger girth.
Oh, you're the Brett Verst, man.
Trey, do you have any expensive mistakes to take us home here?
Hussein, one time I washed my phone in a washing machine. That was dumb.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Broke?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I even tried putting it in rice afterwards.
Oh, yeah. So
I went through the full cycle. Yeah, if I throw it in rice here for 20 minutes, it should be fine. Didn't work, but I made a semi-expensive mistake yesterday. When I went to Publix.
Yes, tell this story.
Yeah, not the most expensive, but I went to Publix, and I went to the deli counter, and I ordered a full foot-long sub. And what I received was 4 foot-long subs, and they were some thick boys. We're talking, I don't know, 4-inch diameter on these subs. I don't know what was happening. I had to ask her to repeat every word she was saying. She asked me to repeat every word I was saying. So when I ordered my 4-foot-long subs, she turned around. She's like, all right, I got to get the bread ready. I'm like, huh. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting you say that because I see a lot of loaves right here. She comes back. She sets 4 out. I'm like, huh. okay, I guess you're just getting ready for the next people. So I was like, yeah, an Italian. Do me an Italian. But, yeah, yeah, I'm feeling
you,
good.
You saw her putting whatever you were saying on all four of the subs.
My first, the first time I knew something was wrong was when she got out the large mayo slatherer. Slathered one up. I was like, nice. That's a lot of mayo. Yeah. That's a lot. And then she just kept doing it. I'm like, huh. Guess she must have an order in for somebody else she's prepping here.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would
think. And when she's like, you want regular or boar's head meat? And I said, boar's head, please. She slapped. I was like, uh-oh. But I couldn't stop her. Yeah. I was like, ah, you already got out the meats? Deep. Once you see the meats come out, that was a problem. I was like, you probably can't put those meats back. I know somebody will eat these over the course of days.
Well, that's, see, this is the crazy part to me because, and I asked you, you had it paid, obviously, for four subs. So even because there's like this confusion, you know, everybody's got masks on, that's great. I'm sure she can't hear you, you can't hear her, whatever. She makes four subs. You only wanted one sub. I can't believe you just didn't go, okay, well, I'm only taking one of those, and I'm only buying one of those. And you're like,
I could have said that. I certainly could have said that, but Skeets, as soon as I saw her putting the four slabs of meat down, and then I turned around and like, slowly but surely, the line is like just getting bigger and bigger as one man is making four identical sandwiches.
You were holding up the line, yeah.
Oh, I was holding up the line big time. I was like, I just got to take these. I got four subs now. I don't know what I'm going to do. But it ended up working out okay. Those four subs fed two families of four. Two meals yesterday. I felt like Jesus a little bit with the loaves and the fish.
Yeah.
Just a few loaves and fish, but he fed 5,000 people. Mm. Right. I felt the same with my Italian subs.
My four public Italian subs. Yeah.
I even messaged you guys from the place. I was like, disaster order at Publix. Hope y'all like Italian sandwiches.
I've just shared a great clip in the our Slack channel here of the two Ronnies who do a great skit about that. It's called The Four Candles. He says, is it four candles or four candles? And they just go on and on and on and four candles. It's great. It's all that stuff that trades would say. You watch it. You're going to love it.
Yeah, okay, because I'm not getting what you're saying right now. I'm not getting the joke. I can't wait to watch it.
Yuck is yum. Yuck is yum. He's loving it.
Well, hold on. Ronnie,
Are you saying fall candles?
No.
That's what I was going to say. Like,
so what's the
saying?
Alternative?
I'm saying four.
Four candles.
Four candles.
Fork candles. Four candles. But you say it, it sounds identical. Yeah.
Oh, you wait till you see the two Ronnies say it. That's great.
You could have three Ronnies. You could have one say fall candle.
You know what's better than two Ronnies? Ronnies? Okay, let's call it there. That was hopefully another classic edition of Beach Step, and it's been a while. We got to do this a little more often. Oh, my God. Your questions are so good. Get us off on all these crazy tangents. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in, @nodunksinc. Leave them in the YouTube comments. Wherever you want, get your cues to us here at No Dunks. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Live to break down all of tonight's games. So we'll see you then. Clipper Bros?
Sure. You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and leave a comment below and tell us how many hot dogs you've eaten in one sitting, one game, the most hot dogs you've ever eaten. I wonder if Kobayashi's watching.
Only at a soccer game, though.
Soccer
hot dogs only.
Or back, come on, baseball counts. All right. Joey Chestnut, did you do it? How many hot dogs?
Do it, Joey.
Joey Chestnut's eating the most in the world.
When
you
go to a baseball game in late September, do you call hot dogs fall candles? Embrace the name, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.